You are listening to Destination Church Belfast weekly podcast. You can find us at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook. Happy listening.
Happy Mother's Day. Today we celebrate mothers. Well, I am. Those that are present and those that are not. We're grateful for all that they've done, aren't we? Their hugs and their kisses, the fluffy socks they provide when we're sick, the blankets, the treats, their compassion, their empathy, their ability to know us in a way that no other human can. I also want to acknowledge that for some today is an acutely painful day, and that for many, many reasons. And we as a church want to stand with you in your difficulty too. And if you need us, we're here. But happy Mother's Day. And for the mothers among us, I hope that you've been well treated. Apparently some mothers got breakfasts. Sorry about that. But Claire said no tat, and she got no tat, so it was all win. Are all of your mothers, you mother, happy with your gifts? Brilliant. Okay, moving swiftly on. Okay, so last week we had Andrew speaking. Do you remember Andrew's message? Yes, sort of. Do you remember anything about the way in which Andrew delivered his message? Okay, so Andrew and I always talk and debrief about what was going on. And I said, Andrew, you know, to be honest, I mean, it was very passionate. And we talked and exchanged about what was going on. And one of the things I did notice, and after 20 years of ministering with this man, I've seen him in lots of contexts, and I know when the Spirit's on him. So one thing I did catch last week was his eyes, and I noticed that I could see the Spirit in his eyes. And the reason why I'm highlighting all of that is sometimes some of the things that God does are uncomfortable, decidedly strange, they're very much out of the normal, and sometimes they're just beautiful and easy and stunning and easy to receive. The reason why I'm saying that is we want to be after the Spirit whenever he shows up, however he shows up, and in whatever way that he shows up in. So that's why I'm highlighting that as your pastor, I saw the Spirit in him and on him last week, and the passion that he demonstrated was of the Spirit and appropriate for the moment, and we should also take note of that. So if you didn't really notice that passion last week, I'm highlighting it, and you might want to revisit what he said, because from my point of view, it was clearly of the Spirit. And I, in all confession, tripped over the passion and was processing again the catalambano. So what was God really saying to me? What is it that I need to be holding on to and laying hold of? Okay? Just wanted to highlight that to us all. We as a church prioritize his presence, and that's why I wanted to comment on that. Okay, so we're beginning a new message series today. Today, the message series title is Do Not Despise the Day of Small Things or Small Beginnings. And today's message is called Seeing the Small Thing. So today we're looking at seeing the small thing. And I'm going to give you a number of stories. Hopefully you'll find these quite interesting. This is an iconic American motorcycle manufacturer that actually started out in a backyard shed. The company founders William S. and Arthur assembled the first real motorcycle in 1904 in a 10-foot by 15-foot shed located in the family backyard in Milwaukee. The shed was preserved for posterity at the firm's Juneau Avenue factory, but was accidentally destroyed in the early 1970s. Do you know what motorbike manufacturer that was? Harley-Davidson. This is now one of the world's largest supermarket groups, which operates stores in 7 countries in Europe and Asia. It was founded in 1919 by the Polish immigrant Jack Cohen as a stall in Wall Street Market in the East End of London. Cohen sold war surplus groceries and didn't open his first store until 1931. What retailer is it? Say it louder. Tesco's. Back in 1923, this man created his first Hollywood, this will give it away, first Hollywood cartoon film, Alice in Wonderland, in a small garage behind his Uncle Robert's home at 4406 Kingswell Avenue in Los Feliz, Los Angeles. Name the franchise and the man. Who? Mr. Walt Disney. Ingvar Kamprad, who died in 2018, founded this company in 1943. At the age of 17, with a small sum of cash his father gave him for studying hard and doing well in his high school exams. The company is named after his initials, the first letter of the town in which he grew up, Elmtard Angulgard Kamprad, I don't know what that is, started off selling pencils, postcards, and other small items via mail order, which he stored in a little shed outside the family home before moving into furniture. Which company is that? The company begins with his initials, Ingvar Kamprad. IKEA. Other major international companies started out modestly enough with a small shop or garage, but this one trumps them all. The sportswear Leviathan was founded in 1964 by college runner Phil Knight and his track coach Bill Barman in Eugene, Oregon, with just $500 and operated, this is ridiculous, and operated out of the trunk of a Plymouth Valiant from which Knight distributed Japanese Ontisuka running shoes. What's the company called? Nike. Eh? Not pretty cool? This church in our country began with six people in a living room and is one of the largest and effective churches in Northern Ireland. Anybody know the church? Causeway Coast Vineyard, correct. And in 2008 in Romania, Dennis Burns in Timișoara prophesied to me that he saw a church in me. I slid down the wall. Then 2011 in Phoenix, Arizona, he prophesied that he saw a church again, that I would be the one leading it, and again I hit the ground holding a camera at the time. In August 2013, it seemed good to Dennis, Andrew, and myself, and the Holy Spirit that we decided and determined to plant Destination Church Belfast. Small groups started 2015. Who was at the first small group? Were you not the first small group, Gareth? Yeah, no? Spot the sound guy who's not listening. Unbelievable. Can't even get the staff. First small group was at the end of February 2015 in Macra Hamlet in Balnahinter in Spa. Then in January 2017, which is now five, so this is the sixth year that we've been meeting here. We started our Sunday mornings here in Mosley Pavilion in the beginning. And at the beginning of 2020, we prophesied that it was time for us to find a place to call our home. And last night, 30 of us met to eat pizza in our new home, see the space, and thanks to Andrew's administrative skills and Claire's and some masking tape, we got a vision for what it would look like. Slow and steady wins the race. Fisherwick Presbyterian Church in Belfast, 2003, Andrew and I met Dennis for a conference called Leadership for the Long Haul. My goodness, it certainly is about the long haul. And we are in this for the long haul. And this morning when I came in, I was standing just about there. It was the second row going, kind of last night changes things a bit, doesn't it? Because we have our own place. We have 30 chairs. We have four tables. And one of the joys for me at the end was wiping down the table and you just lock it and out you go. Just changes things. And we're not there by any stretch. We haven't got the planning permission yet. That's been submitted now or in the process of for about 3 months. And hopefully that will go through in the next 3 to 6 months, but everything begins to change. Now, this has decided to cut off some of, let me see if I can read this. And it has actually cut it off. I apologize. Let me see if I can get this on the phone. It's the verses that I can't see, and it's really important that we can hear them clearly. Okay. So here are the key verses for this message series. This is Zechariah 4:10. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Job 8:7, your beginnings will seem humble, so prosperous will your future be. And this is Matthew 13:31 to 32. Jesus said this. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. Jesus came as a baby, David was anointed as a boy. Moses was protected from his birth. And we are instructed that we are not to despise the small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. In this message series, we want to develop and train ourselves to see, appreciate, and apprehend. And I'm going to say that several times. So see, appreciate, and apprehend what God is doing so that we might play our part in tending to the seeds that we have been given until they mature to the trees that give life as God intended. And we will find that as we do that, we ourselves will become oaks of righteousness, trees planted by the steady, constant streams of the Spirit of God, yielding our fruit in season, our leaves won't wither, and will prosper in whatever we do. Now, I've got an example for you this morning. No, this is not a contraband substance, but it is an IKEA bag. So, hey, see that link there? No, not getting that. And I'm going to hand this around if you'd like to take out one of these seeds and hold it into your hand. So, Alison, you can start there. So these are cosmos seeds. Does anybody know what cosmos looks like? If you'd like to get out your phones and Google cosmos if you don't know what it looks like so that you can actually see it. So when you've got a seed and when you can see it, just let me know. I'm trying to get myself organized here again since this technology has failed me this morning. How are we getting on? Are we over in the second row there? Okay. Anne-Marie, did you get one? You got a seed? Have we got any gardeners here? Yes. Sort of some potential gardeners, sort of maybe gardeners. So you can take that home with you if you choose to. They are from the original plants when I bought them, are probably about 12 years ago. So they're harvested from the dead seed head in the garden and just left to dry. It's quite a remarkable thing. Yes, you plant that and that will grow. Has everybody now got a seed? Okay, it doesn't really look very remarkable, sure it doesn't. They are absolutely beautiful. Has everybody seen what they look like now? They're like large daisies. They're absolutely gorgeous and come in a variety of different colors. Okay, so you've got to exercise faith to trust me that the seed will grow into what I've communicated to you it will grow into. Is that correct? I've told you it's cosmos. Does anybody know from experience that that is a cosmos seed? No? Okay, so we're all acting on faith. Tremendous. So what are you going to do with the seed that you've been given? Will you let it fall to the floor? Has it already fallen to the floor? Will you throw it in the bin? Will you plant it? Will you care for it if it actually does germinate? If it grew to maturity, would you give the flower to someone? Who would you give the flower to? Would the flower mean something to them, or would it sit on their table, or what would you do? Because that one seed is probably going to produce anything between 20 to 40 different flower heads. So you've effectively got a bouquet of flowers in your hands. And actually, you've probably got a meadow full of cosmos in years to come if you know how to care for them. Would you paint the flower? That would be one of the things I might consider doing. What if somebody painted the flower and it became famous and it sold for millions? Right? That's ridiculous. No, actually it's not. Van Gogh, sunflowers. Did you know that Mr. Van Gogh was a missionary? As a missionary, he really wanted to live with the mining community. I think it was either somewhere in the Netherlands or it was somewhere in France. But he lived so much like the people in the mining community. When the guys who were overseeing him from the missionary organization came to see him, they said, "This is ridiculous. You must stop," and really ousted him from the missionary organization. So Van Gogh, as it's actually pronounced, was deeply, deeply disappointed because he was utterly convicted that that's what he should be doing. So he then took his mission. Did any of you know any of this? He then took his mission from being a missionary to being a missionary as a painter, and started to prize looking at the most sort of mundane things. One of his key paintings is called The Potato Eaters. If you have your phone in front of you, feel free to Google that. And it's basically a very mundane scene. There are certain symbols in it that are to represent the presence of God in it. But he then went about the business of just painting the ordinary things. Like if you're ever in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris, you'll see his bedroom. You know, his bedroom full of all of these vibrant colors. Yes, we know it now to be a very famous painting, but at its time it was really like, why would you paint something so very mundane? So it's not ridiculous, is it, that I suggest that if you planted that somebody painted them, that at some point that could be worth millions. Are we all in agreement? Good, let's move on. What if this little seed resulted in you having a profitable nursery, producing flowers and providing for your family for generations to come? Is that a valid statement to make, or is that totally out there? What do you think? Valid? Maybe a little bit out there, Leslie's sort of hemming and hawing there. What if you didn't paint it or photograph it, but someone else did, but you played your part in giving that to them? That's valid, isn't it? What if this seed of an example sparked you to see the small things in your life or in the lives of those around you that you have despised, and you begin to appreciate, apprehend, and actively play your part in bringing it to maturity? What will you do? Will you despise this seed, this small thing that you have in your hand, toss it in the bin or the floor, and let it be swept away? What will you choose to do? Will you protect it? Buy some seed compost, plant it in a pot at the correct depth, water it, care for it, and bring it to maturity. And what I want to say is, I got you to Google it because you won't do anything with it. You won't do what's necessary to bring it to maturity unless you know what it could become. If I gave you just a little bit of bark, are you going to look after it and plant it and care for it and nurture it? You have to know what a thing could potentially become, don't you, before you would ever do what needs to be done to see it mature. Yes? Okay. Where there's no vision or revelation of God and his word, the people are unrestrained. But happy and blessed is he who keeps the law of God. That's Proverbs 29:18. So to be able to see it, you have to look with the eyes of faith from your spirit, not from your soul. And you're acting in so much faith by receiving that seed, believing that it actually is a seed and not a bit of bark, believing that it actually is what I've told you that it is, that Google's not lying to you. We don't know what Google's doing. And that actually what you have in your hand is what I've told you that it is. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says, "So from now on we regard no one from a human point of view according to worldly standards and values. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, now we no longer know him in this way." And John 6:63 says, "The Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing." So this is going to cost you, but it will be worth it. And last night, on our pizza night with curly fries, bantering with Leslie about the vegan pizza, she told me apparently it was very tasty. Do you still hold to that? It was good. Having four nations represented, Hong Kong, Iran, America, and Northern Ireland, showing you the space, explaining where everything will be, hearing the buzz of conversation, laughing with you, worshiping together, enjoying his presence, hearing our people sing prophetic songs, clearing away everything at the end, and wiping down our tablecloths on our table. In our space, MasterCard may be able to buy some things, but there's only one Master that can provide that. Do you see how last night changes everything? And what can you see? Let's ask the question, what can you see from last night? Just masking tape on the wall, nice enough space, we've got a space, it's nice to have some pizza together. What can you see? Place for your children. What else? Okay, so growth and people that we haven't met yet. What else can you see? Future. What can you see in that future, Louise? People? Okay. What else? Home? Yeah, I can see that too. What else? Joy? it's a really good exercise to ask God to what is it that I can see, because really, let's be honest, it's been an awfully long road. We haven't really grown that much, and by all standards, there's just a few of us who come to worship Him, but we all see something more than that, don't we? Because if you didn't see something more than that, then really, what are you doing here? And last night is the beginning of something different and something more. And I know that sounds silly, me saying that there's four nations represented, but who we are as a church is a multinational. We have connections in Mexico. We have connections throughout the world. Our expectation is that we're going to have those kind of relationship with internationals as well. And if you despise the small beginning, you'll not see it. This is going to be worth it. And Dennis said that he saw a church, and he said it in 2008 in Romania, a seed of a prophetic word, and 14 years later, we're all having pizza in two spaces that aren't quite there yet, but we do have the keys to them. And I want to poke at conviction, as always, not at condemnation. So God doesn't give us tables, He gives us trees, and the trees come from seeds. And the tables are made by those who appreciate, apprehend, and actively play their part in bringing the seed of a vision to maturity. So it's all about faith. And can I get the worship guys to come up? You and I desire to please those that we love, but we can't obviously derive our self-worth from their happiness. But we desire to please God, and faith pleases God. So any action that is born out of faith pleases Him. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And we're called to walk by faith and not by sight. So there are mustard seeds of small beginnings happening in the house of DCB. And can you see it? And what will be your response as you begin to recognize what you see? And what will you do with God shows you, with what God shows you? So my final point I want to make, and it's an exhortation to you, which means to really urge you to consider this and to do this, to appreciate, to apprehend, and to actively play your part in bringing the germinating seeds of what's beginning to happen to maturity. Does that sound like a plan? So what do you see? What are the beginnings that you see? And what do you need to do to play your part into seeing those things realized? Can I ask you to stand with me now, and we're going to make a response. As always, part of this process can be actually seeing things that you've missed, which tends to cause us to grieve, which is a healthy thing and an appropriate response. So my first question is, what small things have you missed? Secondly, what small things have you noticed but despised, as in just thrown away and not done anything about? And then the final question is, or the statement is, that there is vision here today. So would you like to receive more vision to see the small things that are beginning around you? So if you'd like to make your response now, come and join me at the front. We're going to worship for a time, and then we're going to receive ministry.
You have been listening to Destination Church Belfast Weekly Podcast. Remember to check us out at www.destinationchurchbelfast.co.uk, and have a great week.